Well, good morning. Great to see you guys here today. Welcome to Now Playing. Thankful you take time out of your weekend to be with us, whether you're here in the room or watching online. Super grateful to have you with us. My name is Chad. If we hadn't had the chance to meet yet, one of the pastors here at LifePoint. Grateful to spend some time in this series. Excited about looking at the movie Fantastic Four and also Philippians chapter two today. And as we get started, I want you to think about this question that I think helps shape our discussion this morning. And if you think about it, in all of human history, what lasting good has ever been accomplished without sacrifice? Think about it. In all of human history, what lasting good has ever been accomplished without sacrifice? What victory has been won? What evil was defeated? What prize was awarded? What possession was acquired? What goal was accomplished? What has ever been done of lasting goodness that did not require sacrifice? Think about your own life. Think about what it took for you to get to the place that you are in your career or at your job and the sacrifice that it took for you to get there. Think about the work that you've put in to help your marriage grow or your relationship with your kids to be restored. Think about that broken relationship that you had and the sacrifice that it took to mend things. Think about what it took for you to get from unhealthy to healthy. So if everything good that's been done in the world, that's been lasting good, that's ever been accomplished, took sacrifice, if there's anything in our life that's been worthwhile, it took sacrifice to get there. My question for us is, why are we so sacrifice averse? why are we hear the word, we think about giving up something and we just go, oh no, I don't wanna do that. Why is it hard to think about sacrificing? Well, it's a good question I want us to explore today and think about how God is calling us to lean into sacrifice and how we get there and what it accomplishes for us. You think about if everything in human history that's ever been really significant took sacrifice to accomplish it. Well, the most important mission that was ever accomplished was what Jesus accomplished for us. And of course, at the heart of Christianity is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And we get a picture of this in Philippians chapter 2. And from Philippians 2, I want us to explore this sentence together, all right? We're going to break this down into chunks, but here's what I want us to think about today. So it gives us an idea about kind of the map of where we're going. All right, the church is a family formed by the self-giving love of Jesus and sent to live that same sacrificial love for one another and for the world. I'll say it again for you. The church is a family formed by the self-giving love of Jesus and then sent into the world to live that same sacrificial love. That's what I want us to think about today. So the first phrase, let's break it down together. The church is a family. So the ability to sacrifice, the ability to be able to give up something, the willingness to be able to lay down something, I believe that comes from somewhere. And the first place that the Apostle Paul points us to in Philippians chapter 2 is our collective identity. What is the primary way that we should see ourselves and relate to each other in the church? Our collective identity as a family. Look what it says here in verses 1 and 2 of Philippians 2. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Our English translation here uses the word if. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort in love, if there's fellowship of the Spirit. But that Greek word if could also be translated since. And honestly, I think that's the better understanding of that word and how we should think about it and translate it. Paul is not questioning if there's encouragement in Christ. He's not saying, I mean, if there's any. No, there is encouragement in Christ. So he's saying, since there's encouragement in Christ, since there's fellowship, since there is all of this comfort from his love, be in the same mind, be of the same mind. So he's saying you have all of these dynamics in the church, in the community, in Christ. You have all of these attributes. You have all this fellowship, this love, this connection. And Paul's not just writing this to the church at Philippi here, to the first century church. Paul's saying, no, this is what Christian communities all throughout history have had. This is the DNA of the body of Christ, that every church is marked by these kind of relationships. And if you analyze what Paul is describing, I think it's deeper than just simply relationships. It's deeper than friendship. It's closer than community. It's more dynamic than an organization. Its mission is more noble than cooperation, than a cooperation or corporation. And its impact is longer lasting and farther reaching than any team. It's more than that. What is it? It's a family. The church is more than just a building that we come to and do certain things. It's a family. It's made up of people. And I think that's what Paul's pointing us to. If you look throughout the New Testament, including the letter of Philippians, you'll see that over and over, Paul uses this familial language. He says, brothers and sisters. Why is he saying that? Because he sees the church as a family. God is our what? He's not just God, he is our Father. Even in some other writings in the New Testament, Paul says that Jesus is our brother. So all of this language is pointing us to say that we are a family. And it's this family association that sets the stage for sacrifice. It's our collective identity as a family that will help us lean into sacrifice. How do we have the ability to lean into difficult things, lean into the mission when it gets tough, when life gets tough? How do we do that? It's because we have a family that backs us up. Do we have a family that walks with us through whatever we're going through? We have a family that is there for us no matter what. It sets the stage for us to be able to embrace sacrifice. We are a family. And in a family, you do things for each other. You sacrifice for each other. Few things will get you out of bed in the middle of the night, but family is one of those things, right? Even your crazy uncle. If your crazy uncle calls you in the middle of the night and says that he's broken down on the side of the road and needs you to come get him, you get out of bed and you go get him. Why? Because family. Because you're family. Because the family relationship necessitates sacrifice. We know that it comes with the territory. When you have a baby, you don't look at the baby and go, why is this baby crying in the middle of the night? It shouldn't be this way. Why am I changing another poopy diaper? It should not be this way. Right? You know it necessitates. You did not think that parenting was going to be easy. It's family. It's going to be difficult. It's challenging. And so you know that family requires sacrifice. Do you want to get out of the bed in the middle of the night and go rescue your crazy uncle who probably did something stupid and got himself into this situation? Not that I'm speaking from personal experience. No, you don't want to do that, but you do. Why? Family. And in our family, in our home, we have a similar dynamic. There are just some things we do for each other. We sacrifice, we suffer. Well, I suffer, mainly. You see, I'm not allowed to touch the thermostat in our home. Is anybody else not allowed to touch the thermostat in your home? Yeah, yeah. Like if you came to stay with me for a week, like you came to visit and my family was out of town, guess what? Whatever the temperature was when you arrived, a week later, it'd be the same. Like I don't touch the thermostat. No matter what the weather's doing, I'm not allowed to touch the thermostat in our house. Why? Because my wife is hot-natured. And I'm cold-natured, so we compromise and we keep it cold in the house. Is that the way compromise works in your relationship? Yes. And my wife's logic, she says, you know what? You can always put on more clothes, but some people are nodding vigorously on this. There's some contentious things going on. You can always put on more clothes, but I can only take off so much, which I say, that's your opinion. I'd be open to a discussion around that if you would. But why am I willing to be inconvenienced? Why am I willing to do that? Because we sacrifice for each other. This is just a silly example, but we do this all the time. Why? Because we're family, because you sacrifice for those kinds of relationships. There's only so many things that will get you out of bed in the middle of the night, but family's one of them. And so it's this kind of relationship that when Paul begins to describe the church, how should we describe this relationship to each other in Christ? It's a family. Sue Storm has a child in the movie, a baby boy named Franklin. And this child is the long-awaited child that they didn't know that they were going to be able to have. And so they finally are able to have this child. And just as they do, there is a threat not only to the child, but all of human existence. And their enemy comes to them and demands the life of the child and will spare the planet if they'll just surrender the child. So it's an exchange, one kid for all of humanity. Again, every story points to the story, doesn't it? And there's a mob that comes to their headquarters and demands, you need to sacrifice child, give up the child, do this for us. And Sue Storm comes out and she gives a speech to all the people, and it's a quite powerful conclusion she comes to. Here's what she says. She says, we will figure this out as a family. She goes on to say, family is about fighting for something bigger than yourself. It's about connecting to something bigger than yourself. It's about possessing something bigger than yourself. We will face this together. We will fight this together, and we will defeat this together as a family. Yeah, Fantastic Four is kind of unique as far as superhero teams go, because they're not just a team, they're family. Three out of the four individuals are blood relatives. And it's that unique bond of family that forges the necessary actions of sacrifice that, listen, lead to not only success of the mission, but salvation. Let me say that to you again. It's the unique bond of family that forges the necessary actions of sacrifice that lead not only to the success of the mission, but to salvation. And so I think this is the kind of relationships we need to embrace the kind of sacrifice that God is going to ask of us in our lives. We need these kind of relationships. We need this family relationship. And so do you have these kind of relationships? For when you are required to sacrifice, for when life gets challenging, for when things get difficult, do you have a family of believers who you can connect to, who make the sacrifice possible and endurable? Do you have these kind of relationships? If you don't, I would love to point you toward a resource that could help. We have groups here called life groups that are groups of people who gather together to be like family, to walk with each other, to learn from each other. And it's in these spaces called life groups. It's not the only place you can find family in the church setting, but we think it's one of the most strategic ways, one of the most strategic places. And so I would point you to a life group. They just got kicked off our first term, just got started a couple of weeks ago. There's a link in the app notes that you can follow if you're on our app, or if you go to lpguest.com, there's message notes there, there's a link. And that's gonna take you to a searchable database of life groups where you can filter it by days of the week or the study, or do they do kids work or not, that kind of stuff. All those filtering things available to you, that link. And we would love to get you connected to a group of people. Are they perfect? No. Is any family perfect? Every family has their crazy uncles, right? But it's a family of believers who help each other. And I believe it's in this context that we enable, through our corporate identity as family, we're enabled to lean into the sacrifice that God's calling us to. So the church is a family. This next phrase says that this family is formed by the self-giving love of Jesus. Where does our family identity come from? It comes from Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus makes it possible. And this sacrifice here is in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let's read that together. Paul says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, By taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So it's not just our identity as family that enables our sacrifice. It's the self-giving love of Jesus. Like, the cross of Jesus isn't just an example or an illustration of sacrifice that we should emulate. We say, oh, you want to live a life of sacrifice? Do like Jesus did. I mean, it is, right? It is an example, but it's deeper than that. Like, the cross of Jesus, I believe, is the DNA for humanity. It's the standard operating procedure for how our lives and our world should function. I think our world is held together by this idea of self-giving love. I think what's true about Christianity is not just true about a religion. I think what's true about Christianity is true of the universe. It's true of the world. It's much bigger than Christianity. It's true about what's true about life. I think the world and humanity, we function at our peak when the principles of Jesus' self-giving love are infused everywhere and in everything and for everyone. When you get to that level, man, I'm telling you, it starts to make sense. And I think all of us are encrypted through the image of God in our creation with this self-giving love. Whether you know Jesus or not, whether a person knows Christ or not, I think it's still in there through the image of God. There's this sense that I should be giving my life for something. I should be sacrificed for something, that it's bigger than me. Paul in Colossians, in another place where he wrote another letter to a church, he says this very thing, I think. I'm convinced. Look at Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Listen to this. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Listen, all things were created through him and for him. How many things were created by him and for him? Oh, that's bad. Like, we gave you sugar. You can do better than that, right? Like, how many things were created by him and for him? All things, yeah. Yeah, all things, right? So all things created by him and for him. Verse 17, he's before all things. And in him, listen, all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So if you look at this passage, you say, yes, Jesus is the head of the church, but he's more than that. Yes, Jesus did make salvation so that we could be a family. Yes, but it's more than that. It's beyond just the borders and walls of Christianity. It's what's true about the universe. All things were created by him. All things were created for him. And when we align ourselves with him, his life becomes our life. We become little Jesuses in the world. When we give ourselves in humility and love for others, we flourish, not just in the church, but in the world. Think about it. If every government was marked by this idea of self-giving love, man, wouldn't that change our world? Think about if countries were governed and led and populated by individuals who were all about self-giving love. School districts, marketplaces, businesses, families, marriages, universities. If we were known for self-giving love, if we embraced self-giving love, think about the transformation of our world. And I think it's in every heart through the image of God. You ever done something for somebody that cost you something? Have you ever felt more alive in that moment? It's counterintuitive. It's bizarre. And when you see the DNA of Jesus at work in the world, everything it touches becomes better. And especially for us as believers, we have this kind of family. We've been formed by the love of Jesus. formed by the sacrifice of Jesus. You go back to Philippians 2, 5 through 8, you will see the marks of sacrifice all over the place. Jesus empties himself, it says. It says he takes on the form of a servant. It says he becomes vulnerable. It says that he becomes killable. And he doesn't just give up position. The passage says that he gives up his life. He doesn't just give up his comforts that he had with the Father in heaven. He gives up his well-being. He's willing to suffer and sacrifice because that's what the mission requires. And that's the power of sacrifice, right? It saves, it redeems, it heals. So think about it. Jesus' sacrifice is the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made, and no sacrifice accomplished more. What could God do through our little sacrifices then? If you look at the heroes in the movie, I don't think they wanted to be heroes. They didn't choose to be heroes. They were just four astronauts who went to space as human beings, and they came back as superhumans. I don't think it was their choice, but they realized once they went in, once they came back, once they were changed, that they kind of had this obligation now. Their life became all about service. One came back with the ability to use force fields and become invisible. One can fly and turn into fire. The other is a giant rock. And the last is, he gets stretchy. I don't know how else to say it. That's the guy we saved to call Mr. Fantastic, the stretchy guy. Like, I don't know about you, but the flying dude who turns into fire, like, that's pretty fantastic to me, right? I feel like some of those attributes are more desirable than others. We call him Mr. Fantastic, but I'd like to propose some alternative names, if you will. How about Stretchy Man, Captain Rubber Band, Pilates Guy, or my favorite, Elastibro? What do you think about that? It's pretty good. Thank you. One person enjoys my sense of humor. But their lives get transformed. They come back with all these abilities. They were normal, ordinary people, and now their lives get kind of co-opted. They become lives for sacrifice and service. To the extent Johnny gets this, he understands this. It comes down to a certain point in time where he says, you know what? I want to trade my life for the life of the child. I will sacrifice myself as long as the child can go back. Let me trade places with him. He's willing to risk his life. Why? Because that's what comes with the territory. It requires sacrifice. But the crazy thing is he risks his life. He offers to lay down his life. With Jesus, we have something totally different. Jesus doesn't just risk his life. Jesus gives his life. He offers his life. He willingly lays it down. And these are the kind of lives that we're called to live because that's who Jesus is. That's who he is to us. We are here in this room because we believe there is value in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We are all beneficiaries of the sacrifice of Jesus this morning. And I'm telling you, we're not just cul-de-sacs where that benefits are supposed to pile up like a 401k of spiritual goodness. We're supposed to be like a conduit through which God flows the self-sacrificial love of Jesus through us to the world. And that brings us to this third part of this phrase. The church is a family who's been shaped by the self-giving love of Jesus, but now we've been sent to live that same sacrificial love. We've been sent to live that same sacrificial love in the world, both for each other in the church and for those outside of it. Jesus said in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. Jesus told his disciples that as he's about to go back to the Father. He said, the Father sent me, I'm sending you in the same way. This same self-giving love that I've shown you and that I've given to you and that I've shown in the world, guess what? You get to now take that to the world. To be a follower of Jesus is someone who understands that we are people of sacrificial love. We are people of sacrifice. But in the end, we know that it's worth it because we get a glimpse of the future here in this passage. Look at verses 9 through 11 of Philippians 2. It says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This scene is a glimpse into the future of this sacrificial mission of Jesus. But it's more than just our destination. I mean, that's the great thing about Christianity. This is our destination, right? But it's more than that. It's our mission. Like God now brings us into the mission. We get to be a part of this. And I love that. Excuse me. There's so much purpose in that. I don't think you look in the world. I don't know that in the world there's a ton of places that you can go that you can hitch your wagon to something and you know it's going somewhere. But Christianity is. We know that it's going somewhere. We know that this is the destination. And you can link your life up with this. So we get to know, okay, this is the future, a place where Jesus is king and where every knee bows and every tongue confesses. That's the future. And so everything that we sacrifice for this mission is for that future. And it is assured. If it's not just hope, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. And so the sacrifice becomes worth it because we know what we're sacrificing for. But you might be asking yourself, okay, well, but what do I have to give? Like, what are you asking me to sacrifice? Like, I'm just trying to do laundry. I'm just trying to go to work. Like, I don't know. I was encouraged by this thought this week. When I was growing up, we used to play this game about the actor Kevin Bacon. Did you guys ever play 6 Degrees from Kevin Bacon? The premise is, and I've never seen it fail, although sooner or later I'm sure it's got to, but is that you can take any random actor and through less than 6 steps connect them to Kevin Bacon. And I was gonna test this out because I was like, man, I don't even know if Taylor Swift's been in a movie. But I was like, hey, it's Taylor Swift. Let's see if we can get her Kevin Bacon. It took 2 steps. Which I guess I shouldn't be surprised at that, but she was in Valentine's Day with Julia Roberts, and Julia Roberts was in Flatliners with Kevin Bacon. Pretty cool. So this game, I didn't know this, but it's actually based on science. And it's more than just about Kevin Bacon. It's about how we're connected as human beings. In the late 90s, two guys, Duncan Watts and Steve Strogatz, confirmed how small the world actually is. And it's not only small, but it's incredibly connected. And they said that there was this idea that every human being is separated by only 6 degrees, by only 6 other people. That all of us can be reached on the planet through a handful of relationships. Now, for what it's worth, Facebook now says that it's more like 3.5 degrees of separation. Which is pretty wild, because there's never been any more people alive on the planet than there are now, and yet we're more connected than ever. I haven't worked that out yet. And even though the world feels massive, our social networks form what scientists call a small world, tight circles of friends and family that are quietly linked together by a few key connections. Here's what this means. This means that influence, information, opportunity, and yes, even sickness can travel much farther and faster than we realize, often through ordinary people living ordinary lives. Say it one more time. This means that influence, information, and opportunity can travel much further and faster than we realize, often through ordinary people living ordinary lives. Now, for the church, this is more than an interesting fact. This is our calling. That God has intentionally placed us in a web of relationships for a purpose, that our friendships, our workplace connections, our neighborhoods, and even our online interactions are not accidental, but they're pathways for the love and truth of Jesus to move to and through the world. And when we faithfully live out the gospel where we are, God can use those small everyday connections to reach people we may not have even met ourselves. That the kingdom of God often advances not through big platforms, but through faithful people leveraging the relationships God has already given them. It's incredible, isn't it? So this is why it involves all of us. that our sacrifice can accomplish more than we could ever imagine. That it's not some big thing we often need to do, but it's small everyday things that can contribute to this future in Philippians 2, where every knee bows and every tongue confesses and Jesus is crowned Lord. You want to know what's worth sacrificing for? I think what's worth sacrificing for is everything that contributes to that. Everything that contributes to that day. It's worth it. Last month, our lead pastor, Pastor Dean, asked us to all take a 1% step. I've been encouraged by that and challenged by that, thinking about what that step looks like. 1% may not seem like a lot when it comes to our time and our resources and our gifts, but it adds up quickly when we all take steps. So I want to encourage you to revisit that. What is God calling us to sacrifice? What does 1% look like in our lives? I think it definitely means that we sacrifice for each other as a family. But not only each other, we're called to support and sacrifice whatever contributes to this Philippians 2 moment. You know, one of the things I think is hard, I said at the beginning of the message, is why are we sacrifice a verse? Like, if it's kind of been a hallmark of our entire lives and human history, why are we so unwilling to step into it? It's addition through subtraction. It seems illogical. But I was reminded of this week. Somebody said, the glass is neither half empty nor half full. It's both. That life is always full of challenges and joys. At the same time, the author went on to say this: it's helpful to know that no matter how you choose to live your life, you will sacrifice. Think about it. There's no magic space or destination where you arrive at comfort and no resistance. Life will resist you at every turn, and we often get to choose our sacrifice. Think about it. It's hard to be both single and married. Both are good, both are challenging. It's hard to start a journey towards health. It's also very hard to be unhealthy. It costs more, both in medications and treatments, but it's really hard to get healthy. It's hard having a family, and it's hard being alone. Both are hard. There's no world in which we don't face sacrifices. So knowing that, what are the sacrifices that we will choose that will most contribute to this Philippians 2 future moment, where every knee bows and every tongue confesses? So I just want you to take a minute, if you would just bow your heads with me. And I just want to give you just a few moments with the Lord. And just to connect with him, and through the Holy Spirit, allow him to impress upon your heart. God, what is it that you're calling me to sacrifice for your kingdom? How do you want to leverage sacrifice in my marriage? Sacrifice in my family? In my work, in my business, in my school? God, how do you want to use my gifts, abilities, resources, education, experience? As you continue that moment with the Lord, I just want to remind you, spoiler alert here, the sacrifices of the Fantastic Four do save the world, okay? And there's one scene toward the end of the film where Sue gives her life for her child, and her child brings her back to life. I wonder where they got that idea. Resurrection. Every story points back to the story. But here's a powerful reality for us that I don't want to close with if we know Jesus. We have the hope of resurrection because of Jesus. There's nothing we sacrifice that will ever cost us more than what he has given us. We always come out on top in this thing. We can move forward in the self-sacrificing love of Jesus because no matter what, as Jonathan Edwards says, all our bad things turn out for good. All our good things can never be lost, and the best is yet to come. That because of Jesus, all our bad things turn out for good. All our good things can never be lost, and the best is yet to come. For some of us today, our first step is giving our life to Jesus, to see his love and sacrifice for us and want to be a part of this family, this self-giving love kind of way of living. He's waiting for you today. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not first willing to do, that he leads out in self-sacrifice and self-giving love. And Lord, we have been such beneficiaries of that. Infinitely beneficial to our lives. We now belong to a family, an imperfect family. Sure, we've got some crazy uncles, but we're part of this family who love each other, are there for each other, willing to get out of bed in the middle of the night for each other. God, we've received your self-giving love that's been life transforming for us. And then God, how privileged are we that you now invite us to be conduits of that love to the world and to each other. And thank you for Jesus who makes it all possible. It's in his name that we pray these things. Amen.